Portrait first arrived on the 90s pop scene in 1992 with the songs Honey Dip and Here We Go Again, which spent 18 weeks on the pop charts. And joining us right now and making a connection on Round Trip with Devo is Michael from the group Portrait. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. I know you're still doing some things in the whole music, the scene. Kind of update us on what you're up to these days.
Well, you know, music has always been my life, so I know Portrait hasn't put a record out, but I came into it as a producer in the first place, as a writer-producer, so being in the group wasn't something that was a plan. So for me, when we stopped putting out records, I kept going as a producer. I was always a producer, so I have my own number one song from other people that I've done as a producer beside Portrait. I've also score film and TV. Now, commercials, do a lot of music for the Kardashian show, a lot of stuff that's on Beulah Murray Network. You know, they own a lot of TV shows and reality TV shows. So I'm constantly doing music. It's always music. Always.
Dude, I watched that Kardashian show with my girl, too. Yeah. So I'll have to. I didn't know you were doing that on there.
Well, it's inserts, you know, little excerpts of music and stuff like that. The way the TV game is, you know, it's just you give them a catalog of a bunch of your music and they just put it in different scenes and stuff like that. So, like I said, when you do music, when you truly do music, you do it for the love. It just so happens that some of us, you know, are able to be paid professionally for it. And even if I wasn't paid professionally for it, I was going to do it. So music continues. It always does.
Way back in the day, let's start with the Portrait stuff here. So back in 1992, the first album came out. And then, but I wanted to talk about a little bit before that, how you guys got together. So I know you and Eric were from LA, Irving was from Providence, and Philip was from Tulsa. How'd you guys, you know, first meet and kind of come together?
Well, the whole plan was, it was kind of like me and Eric, we knew each other since teenagers. And I used to have a partner, his name is Johnny J, who passed away. He was a producer, who produced a lot of the Tupac, pretty much most of the Tupac stuff. Me and Johnny J went to high school together, Washington High School in Los Angeles. We had a partnership, a production team, just me and him. And so this is how Portrait was formed. Me and him had a disagreement, and we stopped doing music together, and he went on to produce Candyman without me. I didn't know the project came out. That's why we stopped. So me knowing Eric, just, you know, by friends and stuff, he's like, man, let's just get our own group together. Don't worry about that. Let's just do a group thing. I didn't really want to do it, but Eric was really cool, positive, and he was a couple of years older, so I looked at him as like a big brother. And we started doing music, and we met this guy named Suave. And Suave just wanted to, he had a concept of having a production team to cover for some of his some of the things that he done. can't really talk about that, but he needed a production company to cover some of the things that he was into. And so me and Eric, we were writing and producing. We started writing for the Good Girls, and then all of a sudden we said, you know what, let's broaden. We need a few writers. We need to have a camp, you know, like we would have been the first camp, like Puffy had Mad Boy. We would have been the first camp. We had it all together. We had writers, and we met this engineer guy when we were in the studio, and he says, man, I got a partner who would be perfect for you guys. His name is Philip. He's back east. He's back in the south. And then I know another guy on the east coast. His name is Irv, and you guys should talk to him, and maybe you guys should fly him out, and let's get together. And that's how it happened. So it was kind of weird. It wasn't, since we were from different places, it's kind of hard to explain how we hooked up. There was a lot of middlemen in the piece, but we all got together, and at that time we still didn't want to be a group. We were just writing and doing these hot demos for people, and then a lady named Joy Bailey said, you know, I work for Capitol Records. We met her through another friend. She's a lot of middlemen. It's hard to say everybody, but we met her through another friend, and she says, you guys have your own, you know, style. You guys should do a record. And we just did it. And that's how it all happened. You know, it was We went up in the label and sung for the president and got a deal, just like that.
Huh. Well, okay, then.
Then you could do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that now.
There's access. So the name Portrait, I've always thought that was a pretty cool name for you guys, and you guys kind of took advantage of that in a lot of your videos, you know, kind of using the picture frame type thing. So the name Portrait, how'd you guys choose that?
Well, because Eric was a graphic artist. He did murals and stuff like that, and it had nothing to do with just, you know, photos and stuff like that. It was more like, you know, this is a portrait of who we are, where we come from, what we represent, and us being from South Central LA. And at the time, when me and Eric first got together, you know, it was in the late 80s, and we were teenagers, but crack had hit LA. It was bad, really bad. Crack cocaine, it was destroying everybody. So all the things that we've been through growing up from there, it was like a portrait of that. Now, even though we didn't talk about negative things, Portrait just came basically because him being an artist and a portrait of some of the things that we went through, we always knew in our music we wanted to talk about certain things. So that's how that came up.
The first album, like we said, was 92, and then you had three hits on that. The first one was Honey Dip, which is my favorite one. And then I know Elise Neal is in that video. How'd you guys get hooked up with her?
Well, those people weren't anybody at the time. They were just video girls who we picked, and you know what they would have. What you would do is you would get a video director, and he would show you all the submissions of the different people who, you know, auditioned for video, and we just liked what we see. We didn't know she was going to be an actor at the time, so none of those people. There was a lot of people we were involved with that are household names and stars right now by just us associating them coming to the studio when we were recording. I remember us being in the studio, I tell people Tyra Banks, Tamara Lee, and all those girls were coming to the studio sitting back while we were recording before they were anybody, you know what I mean? So it was just us picking a person who fit something that we needed to do, you know? Video girls sometimes, and then and even now, of course, they're using videos to try to broaden who they are and get exposure, and so they're trying for the same thing, and some of them just end up being stars, and you know, that's how that happened.
We're talking to Michael from Portrait right now. The second single was Here We Go Again, spent 18 weeks in the pop charts, finished at number 11. How'd you guys come up with that song, and what's kind of the story of that song?
Correction, I've heard it all along, but Here We Go Again went number one. It went number 11 pop.
There.
R&B went number one. I've been hearing that so much. I just really have to see. You have to understand that my position, since we're talking about this, Portrait has always been kind of overlooked, and we always had kind of got shortchanged. So a lot of times when I do interviews, I like to correct people, not in a negative way. I don't mean anything directly in a direct way, but I like to correct every little thing. It was a number one record around the world.
We gotta get
number one R&B.
I hear you.
Yeah, I don't want to settle for 11 because it's not true. Like, I'm 6 feet four. I'm not 6'1". I'm 6'4".
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but that was a record that actually, I remember having a dispute with Philip in the group. The track was halfway done when I came up with it. The track creatively consisted two different loops moving at the same time. At the time, when people started using loops, they would use one loop through the whole song, or they would use a loop and then they would switch to another loop during the song. I wanted to do two loops going at the same time. So I did two loops, and they were moving a certain way, and everybody was like, wow. But I remember Philip saying, nah, that's not a hit. It's whack. Let's not do it. I said, man, there's something about this. And then, honestly, that was just the beat at the time. And I remember having a relationship. My heart was kind of broken, to be honest with you. And I was listening to Lady in My Life by Michael Jackson. And I was just listening to this music, and I started going through his record, and then all of a sudden I'm listening to Can't Help It. I'm like, wow. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. said, let me just throw that in just to experiment and see what it came out. And it came out so different, people didn't know what to think because it was a happy frequency, but it was a sad song mixed together. And we did it. Once we heard it, we started writing it, and it was just kind of like, even though the guys didn't really like it at first. And I said, you know what, this is a hit, man. It's so different. All we have to do is put a crazy melody. That's all we have to do. Let's not do a melody that sounds like nobody else. Let's do something totally different. Let's do a freestyle melody. Let's not do the kind of melody that you learn how when you're in school. Let's do something against the grain. And the melody is what sold it. And there we have, here we go again.
And the video for that, basketball, martial arts, kind of some different stuff on it. What do you remember about, you know, when you filmed that day? And where did you guys actually film that at?
We were downtown L.A. We were so new at it, we wanted to put everybody's personality in it. That's what happened. See, Eric's been doing Kung Fu for like 20 years. He started teaching since he was 13, so he wanted to put that personality in him. Philip loved basketball a lot. And so that's an idea too. But Philip loved basketball so much, he wanted to incorporate that in. That's what his scene was. And then me being a musician at the piano, that was my thing. And Irvin was a model, so he had Irvin in the video taking pictures like he's a model. So we just wanted to really incorporate our personal personalities in the video. It was about us having fun. And I remember making that record, the whole record, and we weren't thinking about anything. We were young and just having fun. We weren't thinking about the pressures of the second record or what if people don't like that. We were having fun, and as a result, that's what came out of it.
Third single was Day by Day. Then you guys also performed, this is kind of a cool thing, Family Matters, the song On and On. What was that like, you know, being on the set of that, and was Urkel a pretty cool dude?
Yeah, Urkel's great, great guy. I mean, great. All those people were really great. Michelle Thomas passed away. You know, she's like my little heart. I had a thing for her, and it really broke my heart when she passed away. Family Matters was an experience because we knew that television show was syndicated, and it was a big, big, big show. I think the producer had a daughter, from what I remember, and her favorite group was us at the time. So we were requested when they had that prom scene. And, you know, doing those little TV shows were all a part of marketing. That was the way they helped break you. Even today when I see YouTube, people say, yeah, you know, this Portrait song was, I first heard it on Family Matters. It was almost like a radio show. You know what I mean? It was like a radio station. So that was a good way. That's when they really started marketing groups, when they started getting us in TV shows and stuff like that. So that was really fun. Meeting everybody was an experience. And then we had our own little lines. And we were just getting prepared. They were trying to set us up. Later that I find out, it was a whole different story, but that's another conversation.
We're talking to Michael from Portrait right now. Then the second album came out in 95. It was called All That Matters. I Can Call You was a big hit on the R&B charts and off that album. How would you compare like the second album to the first one? Because I know you said earlier, you know, there was the pressures later on of trying to, you know, live up, et cetera.
So the first album was fun, no pressure. But the second album, we grew. We had been to 20 different countries. We seen different things, different walks of life. And we wanted to have a sound. And what I mean by that is everything was rooted from the Fender Rhodes. I remember saying, you know what, I want to do the whole album from this Fender Rhodes piano. Let's write it from this. Let's have continuity. Let's have a flow. So when it came down to subjects and the sonically sounding record, it was all put together on purpose to sound that way. And it's so funny because people, you know, public is kind of fickle, and when they're explained why they shouldn't be this way, they start saying, oh, I get it, because they say, well, the first album was this, and the second album was this, and the third album was this. It was different. They changed their style. You're an artist. You're supposed to grow. You're 5'11 one year, and then you're 6'2 the next. It's evolution. So for anyone out there, for any artist, when they say things like that, especially the public, yeah, you're supposed to grow. We felt like we grew, and we were young men, but we had been exposed to all these different cultures and the selection of women that we've seen for some reason, because we were all really tall and we had a certain look. We experienced a different class of women. We were treated a different way. You know, we were very exposed to worldly things, so the sound started evolving, and we wanted to have continuity, and that's why the record sounded like that. It was on purpose, you know. It's in our opinion, the group's opinion, it's our best work. You know, the first album was more successful, or in the States, and the second album did more in different countries, but to us, that was our best body of work. You know what I mean? In fact, we're thinking about doing a DVD of the making of that second album. What we were thinking about, what was going through our mind, studio, all that stuff. Because that was our best work. We really felt like that was our best work.
That'd be cool to have the DVD. Well, then, so correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the third album was Picturesque in 96. Did that only come out in the Asian market? And if so, you know, how come?
See, that was a whole accident. That was a whole accident. That was a whole... That was nothing but a guy over in Japan... who wanted the Portrait Project so bad that he just offered some money and said, can you just put some stuff songs that you guys never released and demos, whatever it is, I just want to have something, you know what I mean? And that's all it was. It wasn't even us. It wasn't the same group. You know, it was demos put together. It wasn't, you know, people don't know. I can get that straight. That wasn't really a real Portrait record. That was someone who gave some money up. And at the time, since we had broken up at the time, we were all scattered. Each one of us had tracks or songs that we never released. So that was just us putting some things together and, hey, here's 12 different tunes. You can do whatever you want to do. We didn't even know. It was supposed to be a little bootleg project. We didn't do that artwork. We didn't do none of that. All of a sudden we heard, you know, something was on eBay, or not eBay, but iTunes or something. And then we made a phone call and got in contact with the guy. Yeah, he gave us some money, but we didn't know he was trying to do an album that way.
Huh.
So we said, well, if we're going to do something, then do a video. You know, and we ended up doing a little video. But at the time, we were broken up, so nobody was down. No one was down to do the video. And I was like, how could we do this without... You know, the guy already put some stuff out. He gave some money. So we had some other cast that we had worked with. They were just writers. They weren't part of the original Portrait. That was just a writing team. He put some things together, and then he put our picture on it. No one really knew it was going to be that way. It was kind of like something done illegal,
so,
to be honest with you.
So there's basically two legit Portrait albums then, right? The third one doesn't really...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. Now, let me tell you. Hold on. Let me stop. Picture Us was us. There's
right.
Another one called Share My World. So I don't know if you know about that one.
Wait, which one?
Called Share My World.
No.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. They got it on YouTube. You'll start hearing if I, you know, give you some titles. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Picture Us was us. That was just for, I'm so sorry, that was for the Asian market. And what happened was when we went over to Asia, we were doing so good, we thought that we would give them an album or remakes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No,
there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of... For those of you who know, there was it wasn't really a real Portrait record called Share My World, and songs called, let me see, Let's Dance, songs called Turntable. If you go on YouTube, you'll see it. You actually see a song called Let's Dance, a video Portrait. But it's not. That's not really us. That was done illegal.
Okay, so there's three then. Okay, gotcha now. So the first one.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And then what about the future of Portrait? You know, any chance of a fourth, you know, fourth album coming
out? Well, we thought about it because we've been doing shows. We're going to go to Australia sometime at the end of September. We'll know that pretty soon when the dates are. But because we're doing shows, we're really thinking about it. You know, the market is so independent right now that you can make your own ticket. And we can just tell all the fans that we've, you know, accumulated over the years, just by internet, that this is what we're doing. And we're really, really thinking about it. I can say this. If everybody in the group does what they normally do and not try to do anything that they don't do, then we'll do another record. And the style will still be us. We didn't have a sound. We had a style. That's the difference. Jodeci had a sound because Casey and JoJo were the voices. Tony had a sound because Raphael had that little squeaky voice. H-Town had a sound because Dino had that grown man voice. We didn't have a sound. We had a style. That's what people liked about us. We didn't have a lead singer. It could have been any single of us, and anybody could have been singing lead. So people, you know, well, what do I like about Portrait? It's because you liked our style, not the sound, because we didn't have a sound, if that makes sense.
Hmm. I never thought of it that way, but it does. So
yeah, because different groups have a sound, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Earth, you know what I mean? Earth, Wind, and Fire had a sound because it was Maurice and Philip. You know, and other groups might have a style that you like, and it's something about their style. And we knew because we really thought we didn't have a strong lead voice. We all knew that. So we had to create a style that people liked.
The current, so assuming that there is a fourth album and everything, it's still Irving, Philip, Eric, and you. Is that still correct?
Yeah, if we do another record, it'd be the original.
Okay.
Now, Kirk Jackson came in when Philip Johnson was originally let go after the first record. You know, he's considered a Portrait guy. People don't know Portrait used to be five of us anyway. It used to be five. So Portrait, when Kirk came in to fill Portrait, Philip's spot, he became, because he traveled and did all the world. Philip was on all the records, but when it came down to traveling, Kirk was there. So the public knows Kirk as the traveler with us, but then they know Philip's voice and sound because he was on the record. So he's considered a Portrait guy. So it would either be us original, me, Philip, Irvin, and Eric, or it might be me, Philip, Irvin, Eric, and Kirk.
Okay, good. Well, see, I'm glad I'm doing this interview, man. There's not enough stuff about you guys out there. So, by the way, is there anything else we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about or promote or anything?
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, you know, I feel like we always got shorthanded because, I mean, we were the first R&B group to be in Source magazine, which Source was completely hip-hop. We were the first R&B group to be in Source. That's because we had appeal to the rappers. Rappers thought, like, wow, we're going to listen to R&B. We're going to listen to Portrait because there's something about their style we like. That's an accomplishment because that magazine was totally hip-hop, and we were the first group to be in there, first R&B group. We broke a record when it came to airplay. We were doing 1,500 spins a week with radio airplay, which was huge. We also didn't understand why for us to have number one records and break some of the records we did, why we ever presented any award. We not only did not get an award for number one single, it was a huge single. We never even presented. I'm telling you the things that we were really mad and frustrated about because we thought we were four handsome guys who had potential to be on magazines and covers, and they never presented us right in terms of, okay, if you didn't win an award, well, go up there and present.
Yeah.
We never presented. Everybody else presented. Even they won an award, presented. They never did us like that. So I'm going to speak on the negative side a little bit because I found out years later that Portrait was supposed to be through Capitol Corporate Records. We were supposed to fail. The group was supposed to be a joke. We were supposed to be we're going to put some guys together for a tax write-off. And they thought that was going to fail. And I found out this from some executives who used to work there. And when they put the single out, they didn't know it was going to, they had no idea it was going to get so big. It got so big so fast that they didn't have the momentum to catch up. That's what the music business, if something comes out and you're not prepared completely, then you'll have a backlash because you're trying to catch up. Like, okay, the record sale is jumping. It's too fast. It's moving. People want to go buy it. Well, they only put 12,000, what I heard, they only put 12,000 albums out before we came out because they thought we were going to fail. Usually, they'll put about 100,000 out. You know, they'll put 100,000 out in different markets, hoping that you can succeed. They didn't. They put like 10 to 12,000. This group is not going to make it. And then when we start selling like crazy, they had to catch up. And when you have to catch up, you lose a lot of record sales. A lot.
That's why I couldn't find. I remember having a special order of that, man, on CD back
you
in the day.
Yeah, exactly. And even when it was number one, we would go places and it wouldn't even be in a record store. They couldn't find it.
Yeah. God.
And the theory with people are, usually when you go to buy a record and it's not there, you won't come back.
Yeah.
And so they messed us up. Yeah, they messed us up. So we always felt like we had got the short end of the stick, not enough TV stuff, not, no red carpet, no nothing, just kind of there. And it makes you feel good on YouTube to see that when I see those compliments that we get, oh, they were underrated, people don't know. That means we were right. That means people did love us, but they didn't get enough of us.
That's why you got to come
back.
And
that wasn't our fault.
We want you back.
I know. You know what? It's still the same thing. You know, it would still have the same chemistry. And like I said, we're going to really talk about it. We've been in discussion. We got together a few times and started to record. And then a lot of people's personal issues kind of got in the way. But we're really, really thinking about it really, really soon to do something. And there you have it.
Hey, thank you so much for all your time, and definitely, keep us updated, man, with everything, you know, when you guys decide to come back, and we'll get the word out and have you back on again.
Oh, definitely. I appreciate it. Anytime you need anything, call me, let me know. I like to know where to get this interview and where to link on, and then I'll blast it and put it on my Facebook and stuff like that.
And we'll hit you up, I'll remember, number one, not number 11. For here we
go. Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, man. Take it easy.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, Dave.
Bye.